These early chapters in Isaiah are heavy-handed. Isaiah is calling to count the spiritual condition of Judah and Jerusalem, and he continues chapter 3. The whole national disintegration. Chapter 3, verse 1, 4. Behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of the 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the skillful craftsman, and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. I'm always fascinated. You find this several places in the scripture, that an idiom of the disintegration of the society as the children are running things. And parents, if that makes you uncomfortable, it should. I don't have any answers. I'll keep moving. Anyway, verse 5, the people shall be oppressed, and every one by another, and every one by his neighbor, and the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. What Isaiah is saying here, this is upside down, it's not the way it should be. You see, for the child to assert himself over the ancient. In other words, instead of respecting his elders, it's the other way around. And it's interesting that as we look at our society today, whatever biblical yardstick you use, we're in bad shape. There's two measures that come to mind. This one, for an example, the rebellion and the dominance economically. If you're a consumer merchandiser, you know that the young market is where the action is, right? The kids have the money to spend. The other yardstick, of course, is homosexuality. It's classically, all through the Bible, been a measure of the degradation of a society. Verse 6. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler. Let this ruin be under thy hand. And that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. To show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin like Sodom. They hide it not. And here again is this expression, drawing a comparison of Jerusalem and Sodom, using Sodom as a spiritual low. Woe unto their soul. This is the first of eight woes. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say to the righteous, that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given them. As for my people, children are their oppressors, women rule over them. I'm not going to comment on that one with a 10-foot pole. I'll let it speak for itself. O my people, they who lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and their princes, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts. And he continues in this vein. He's just pronouncing judgment on Judah and Jerusalem. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling anklets, and their headbands, and their crescents like the moon, the pendants and the bracelets and the veils and the headdresses and the armlets and the sashes and the perfume boxes and the amulets, the rings and the nose rings. There's one you're probably not guilty of, girls. The festival robes and the mantles and the cloaks and the handbags and the hand mirrors and the linen wrappers and the turbans and the veils. Sounds like Isaiah dumped one of the purses open. Every time I go through something like this, I'm reminded of the Greek word. This is Old Testament Hebrew, but in the Greek, the word cosmos is the word that means to bring order out of chaos. And it's the same root that we get the word cosmetics. So I just had to point that out. Vanity. Vanity, vanity. And Isaiah, of course, is dealing in the idiom of that day. But in this sophisticated audience, it doesn't take any commentary or amplification to apply this to today. And it shall come to pass that instead of the sweet fragrance, there shall be rottenness, and instead of a girdle, a rope, and instead of a well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a robe, the girdling of sackcloth, and the branding instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn. And she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground. Isaiah calling their attention that their vanity, their aspirations are going to be brought to naught, that they're heading for judgment. On the one hand, we're primarily interested in how it might apply to us. On the other hand, I want to keep some historical perspective here. Isaiah is writing at a time just prior to, but about the time that the northern kingdom, Israel, is going into captivity. The Assyrians are dominant about 722 BC. They take captive the northern, what we call Samaria, the northern kingdom, or called Israel. Isaiah is preaching and pushing and prophesying on Jerusalem and Judah, the southern kingdom. By the time we get to chapter 13, Isaiah is going to be talking about not only the captivity that Judah is about to inherit with Babylon, but even go so far to describe the destruction of Babylon. And when we get into Isaiah 13 and 14, we'll get into all that. What's interesting is Isaiah will be prophesying the fall of Babylon before Babylon's even an empire. At the time he's writing, Assyria are the heavies. Babylon's a little city-state that's a pawn of Assyrian politics. And it's 100 years later, after the fall of Assyria, that Nebuchadnezzar rises to power. And Isaiah will write about Nebuchadnezzar's fall long before he's even risen, which must have made his writings bizarre to his readers at the time, in some respects.